Good afternoon, and thank you all for standing by. At this time, I do want to inform all participants that for today's call, you will be on a listen-only mode until the question and answer session. Today's call is also being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And I will now turn the call over to your speakers. You may go ahead.
Good afternoon. This is Allard Butel with NASA's Office of Communications here at NASA headquarters in Washington. Thank you for joining us for this fiscal year 2020 NASA budget request media teleconference. We're joined here today by NASA's Chief Financial Officer, Jeff DeWitt, the Deputy CFO, Andrew Hunter, and Senior Budget Analyst, Brian Dewhurst. As a reminder, all of our budget material is available on nasa.gov/budget. It includes the chart that Mr. Hunter will be going through momentarily. And you can also watch on nasa.gov/live as we go through the presentation and see the slides as well as hear the teleconference. We'll start off now with talking to Mr. DeWitt.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let me start by saying that this is a great budget for NASA. The President's proposal of $21 billion represents an increase over last year's request and comes at a time of constrained resources across the federal government. It emphasizes the priorities the administration places on NASA's mission and America's future in space, and NASA very much appreciates the commitment of President Trump and Vice President Pence to our mission. This proposal is an important next step in meeting the President's directive in Space Policy Directive 1 to, quote, lead an innovative and sustainable program of exploration with commercial and international partners to enable human expansion across the solar system, end quote. NASA appreciates this administration's recognition and support of the valuable impact the agency has not only on scientific discovery and technology development, but also on the U.S. economy and quality of life of all Americans and people around the world. We also very much appreciate the strong bipartisan support that we have up on the Hill in Congress. NASA is not on a single mission. We're creating the backbone for a permanent human presence deeper in space, to the moon, and eventually to Mars and beyond. The budget proposal fully funds NASA's Space Launch System and Orion spacecraft to continue work on exploration missions 1 and 2. It supports work over multiple elements of the Lunar Gateway and our continued progress with commercial space in low Earth orbit and onto the moon with new human scientific research and cargo lander systems. This budget proposal also supports an ambitious program of solar system exploration that includes a Mars sample return mission and the launch of the James Webb Space Telescope, as well as development of the critical technologies required for humans to successfully operate on the lunar surface. The fiscal year 2020 budget provides for the continued development of a supersonic X-plane that will demonstrate quiet overland supersonic flight, enabling U.S. industry to open a new market, as well as continued work in transformative aeronautics research and efforts to make air travel safer and more efficient. Overall, the President's budget proposal puts us on strong footing to continue leading the world in exploration with commercial and international partners playing a critical role as we seek to bring new knowledge and opportunities back to Earth. With that, I'm going to turn this over to my Deputy Chief Financial Officer of Budget, Andrew Hunter, who will walk us through the numbers.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'll go through the charts relatively quickly to allow enough time for Q&A for anything not covered. And just another note, the detailed Congressional Justification Budget book will be coming out next Monday with much greater detail on all these programs and projects. So as Jeff said, this is a strong budget that lays the framework and sets in motion activities that will put Americans back on the moon in 2028 and build capabilities to eventually put humans on Mars. Chart 2 talks about the Space Policy Directive 1 as being our guiding principle here. This directive was codified in last year's President's request and lays the foundation for this one as well, so continuity. Chart 3, this budget has several firsts, exploration firsts through 2024, and starting from the left, our commercial crew program with a successful splashdown of Dragon last Friday morning. That kicks it off, eventually getting humans up to the space station later on this year with Boeing and SpaceX. We've got the commercial lunar payload services activity to deliver science and tech payloads to the moon. That's otherwise known as CLPS, the second column there. EM-1, along with EM-2 and EM-3, are SLS and Orion flights. More on that shortly. I'll talk about that. Mars 22, 2020, on track for launch next year. And then we have the first element launch of the Gateway, our power and propulsion element, in 2022. That's on a commercial ELV. All the Gateway elements will be on commercial ELVs. We also have enhanced science and exploration mobility capabilities. We'll see rovers on the moon as soon as 2023. Then we have our next Gateway element with Esprit, the European provided Esprit and utilization module in 2024 timeframe. That will enable finally crew to stay aboard the Gateway. And then we have the EM3 mission, with the first crewed mission to the Gateway. And then finally, in 2024, we're planning a series of lunar lander demonstration missions with the first uncrewed mission testing human descent capabilities on the surface in 2024. So you'll see a lunar lander descent module demo there. So a lot of activity over the next this budget horizon. Next, chart four. Again, this is a strong budget, $21.019 billion. This is about $1.4 billion above the 20 column in the 19 budget in the President's request, so it's a substantial increase. And for the first time, it actually does include inflation growth, so that is built into the out-year budget here at 1% inflation growth a year. That, as you probably are all familiar, is something new. We've seen notional budgets, flatline budgets, the last 7 years. So this is a good sign that the administration is very serious about growth for the exploration program. It is $500 million below the 19 enacted level that Congress has enacted. This planning, of course, was started well before we got an enacted budget in February. And we also have several elements in this budget in 20 that are not continued from the enacted levels in 19, including WFIRST, a couple of science missions, and the STEM education activities. So that explains some of the difference between why we are slightly below the 19 enacted level. However, we do include $10.7 billion to continue building the key components of the exploration campaign, which consists of the critical backbone elements of our future in deep space, and that is the Space Launch System rocket. Getting EM-1 and EM-2 launched as fast as technically possible is a prime objective of this budget, something that more money will not accelerate. This is a technical condition in terms of getting there faster. So we are not asking for more money for SLS to do the job. We just need a little more time. We also have the Orion crew capsule, which will be on top of the SLS, and both of these elements together will be critical to deliver humans to the Gateway. Then we also have the ground support system that supports those three elements all together, working together. The Lunar Gateway is an outpost orbiting the moon. We'll see that in the mid-2020s. The first element is the power propulsion element being launched in 22, with the Esprit and utilization module in 24. And then later on, you'll see beyond the budget horizon, we'll have future habitation modules and logistics capacity as well. The commercial launch capabilities to enable regular low-cost access to the lunar vicinity and surface. This is through our commercial lunar payload services, the CLIPS activity. And then finally, we have about $363 million starting in 20 for activity to enable lunar landers and human access to the lunar surface by the late 2020s. And that number will actually grow to about $2.3 billion in 2024 through our in our Advanced Cislunar and Surface Capabilities Program. And finally, around all this, wherever possible, we'll be leveraging, building on commercial and international partnerships as we go forward. So this program will get us back to the lunar surface soonest. Next, chart five. As I said, develops the first elements of the Lunar Gateway, the PP&E, ready for launch in 2022. We'll have a contract plan for award later this year, and the utilization module in Esprit, enabling crew to stay aboard starting in 2024. Gateway will all be launched on commercial launches, and we have about $820 million aligned in the 20 budget for the Gateway activities. We also are using the growing emerging technology and commercial capabilities to deliver science and technology payloads to the moon. Back in November 2018, we had commercial lunar payload services contract and selected 9 companies, among them making them eligible to provide transportation services. And in February 2019, NASA selected 12 NASA payloads that could be flown on early Eclipse missions. So that's all primed and ready to go for commercial providers to deliver to the moon. And then finally, this budget focuses the SLS program on the completion of the initial version of SLS and supporting a reliable annual SLS Orion flight cadence. The focus is on EM-1, getting that right. We've had schedule challenges with the core stage. We're having an assessment underway to get to a realistic launch readiness date, and that will be later in April and later in spring when we will have a declaration of launch readiness date for EM-1. In the meantime, EM-1, 2, and 3 will be using the interim cryogenic propulsion stage, and the budget will defer the EOS Block 1B activities. On chart 6, we have the Lunar Surface Innovation Initiative. There's about $50 million in the budget for this. And this will serve as a catalyst for enabling critical technologies required for humans to successfully operate on the lunar surface. This technology holds potential to produce consumables, including oxygen, water, and hydrogen from the moon in the in-situ resource utilization activities. Also includes surface power generation. In FY20, we have a kilo power project to demo small, lightweight fission power systems. So a lot of interesting work going on there. We're also utilizing public-private partnerships to develop a human-class lunar lander that will reestablish our preeminence to around and on the lunar surface, leading to a human lunar landing by 2028. That's the $363 million that grows to several billion dollars in the out years in our Advanced Lunar and Surface Capabilities Program. And then we have in our planetary lunar discovery and exploration activities, we are developing lunar robotic rover capabilities to support science and resource utilization. These all work together. You've got the rover work being done in science. You've got the CLIPS activities being done in planetary science. That's leading to new technology and feeding knowledge and technology into developing midsize and eventual human-class lander systems. So these will all be working together with commercial and international partners. And then finally on this page, administration policy still stays the same regarding ISS, looking at commercial use and operations of a space station when eventually we become the customer. But we've still got $1.458 billion to operate the space station and provide the science that we need from that space station on the effects of humans in space. And we will be continuing to facilitate a transition to a more robust and cost-effective approach to human space activities near the Earth. Page 7, a very robust science program still continues. We've got quite a bit of activity here with the next Mars rover launch in July 2020 and a Europa Clipper mission to launch in 2023 on an EELV. We did not fund the Europa Lander in this budget, as we didn't last year either. We've got $592 million funded for the Europa Clipper. We also are initiating a Mars sample return to retrieve samples from Mars, and those samples would be cached by the Mars 2020 vehicle. And then we'll return those samples with the first launch from another planet, which is pretty cool. That's one of the highest decadal priorities as well. We continue exploring the universe with the launch of the JWST telescope in March 21. And this budget, like last year, provides no funding for WFIRST while the web is still being built. The dollars aren't there, and while the science of the WFIRST is exceptional, it's a priority decision and a dollar availability issue at this time. We continue the work of 10,000 scientists across our science programs and over 3,000 competed awards World-class science network and research output is uncomparable across the world. Consistent with prior budgets, we provide no funding for PACE, the Plankton, Aerosols, Clouds, and Ocean Ecosystem project, and the Clario Pathfinder. And similarly, last year and the year before, the Office of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics STEM engagement is zeroed out the funding for that. Okay. Chart 8. We have a strong aeronautics program. The X-plane designation was finally given to the low boom flight demonstrator, and it's called the X-59 Quest. That has a launch readiness date of 2022, and that's funded at $103 million. Revolutionized the way we travel across this continent in terms of the speeds. We also maintain a robust investment in air traffic management improvements, unmanned aircraft systems, and air traffic capacity technologies, et cetera. We also have made a strong effort in this budget to replenish resources for mission-enabling activities and operations. In our seen a fairly significant increase in our safety, security, mission support line. We are prepared to go back to the moon. And the last time we went to the moon, this agency had substantially much more money to do that. And we've made a commitment to the infrastructure of this agency to enable exploration to occur as well. Let's see. And then chart 9, just a few accomplishments in 2020. Gateway, we'll see contracts there, and that will start its development activities, its planning and formulation activities. We continue delivery of hardware for integration and testing for the upcoming EM-1 and EM-2 launches. The James Webb Space Telescope will continue testing integration on schedule for March 2021 launch. We are on top of our commercial lunar lander capabilities to deliver payloads to the surface of the moon. We have healthy competed lines in our new frontiers, heliophysics, small explorer, astrophysics, medium explorer, and a suite of Earth Venture suborbital 3 investigations, so a lot of activity in science. And then commercial crew, Boeing and SpaceX are on course for certification of their transportation systems later this year. And then quite a few critical technologies will be demonstrated in exploration technology, LaserCom, MOXIE, the Mars Environmental Dynamics Analyzer, Medley 2, terrain relative navigation, AstroB, and Lunar Flashlight are all a couple of spacecraft that will be launched as well. And then we complete the Solar Electric Propulsion, CDR, and start the Lunar Services Initiative as well. And then in Aero, we're accelerating research supporting the urban air mobility activity. Chart 10, the numbers. 2019 are the enacted levels called out in law. We haven't filled all the items in because we're undergoing an operating plan process right now to fill in numbers that weren't specifically called out in law. But you can see that there is inflation in the out years at 1% a year. A couple of things I'll just point out to, in case there's questions about it. Aeronautics appears to go down, but that is we're transferring the aerosciences evaluation and test capabilities, the wind tunnel activity there, to the Safety, Security, and Mission Services account. There's about $65 million a year that comes out of aeronautics to SSMS. And then the construction of facilities line looks high in 2020 and goes down, but that's because we have $90 million that comes from the mission directorates for program-specific construction, and the CFF line is the only place we can execute those funds. So there's always a little growth in the budget year for construction of facilities, and it goes back down to its regular institutional levels. Okay, chart 11. Here's the visual for the full exploration campaign funding. The top blue is our exploration R&D. That includes AES. That includes all the gateway activities. That includes advanced lunar and surface capabilities and human research program. The next wedge there is the orange is the exploration systems development line. That's where Orion, SLS, and ground support are budgeted. And then we have the exploration technology blue line below that, the tech maturation and tech demo activities. And then the big green is the low Earth orbit and space operations account, where we have ISS, crew and cargo space transportation, space and flight support, commercial LEO development and launch services and things like that. And then science down below, which includes Mars sample return and the Lunar Discovery and Exploration Program. You can see an inflection point in 22-23, where the exploration R&D it grows a little bit more, and we are intent on driving down some of some of the operations, the LEO and space operations line in the out years. Next chart is the one that we put together to show that we weren't going out of business after shuttle. We keep saying that every year, but we have a lot of activity ahead of us here. And in 19, we just checked off the DM-1 demonstration that successfully splashed down Dragon capsule on Friday. That was just checked off this weekend. And I won't go through all these, but you can see there's quite a bit on the manifest here, especially commercial and science. You can see EM-1 and EM-2. You can see the lunar exploration mission of opportunities tied to the CLIPS activities, et cetera. 13, I'll go through these pretty quick here, highlight what I haven't talked about yet, but this funds SLS, Orion, and EGS, and it enables humans back to the vicinity of the moon in 2023 with EM-2 launch. Orion is $1.266 billion, SLS is $1.775 billion, and ground systems is $400 million. A lot of activity enabling those three elements to come together to form the backbone of our future in deep space. Next chart, exploration, research, and development. This is where we have the advanced cislunar and surface capabilities line. This will be the line that grows substantially in the out years. We're starting at $363 million to developing or laying the framework, the groundwork for developing a reusable human lunar landing architecture. And then the gateway elements are in here for $821 million, and I mentioned that earlier. AES looks at habitation capabilities and systems, crew mobility systems, vehicle systems, autonomous systems, things that feed into future development activities. And then the human research program is included in this line as well. 15, exploration technology. This is basically the same technology program of previous years, with a greater focus on lunar surface activities and the technology required to support humans on the lunar surface and support Mars toll pole technology needs. We have also the laser communications relay demonstration funded here for the 2020 launch date, several small spacecraft for flight, and then this is where we also develop the solar electric propulsion for the lunar gateway. And the first demo will be a 50-kilowatt class activities. This is also where we fund the SBIR and STTR activities. 16, International Space Station. We've got about $1.1 billion for ops and maintenance and research at about $353 million. And this will continue. You can read the ISS focus areas, not changing here, but we did recently award study contracts to industry to investigate the best way to use ISS to enable commercial industry to take a lead role in low Earth orbit operations. 12 companies are providing studies right now. We have $225 million, I believe, for the commercial activity to support that.
150
in 2020. And the concepts will detail business plans and the viability of habitable platforms using station or separate reflying structures. And this is a continuation of the activity last year to eventually be a customer of the space station rather than fully have the federal government support the operations. Space transportation on chart 17. This is what we pay to our partners to deliver crew and cargo to low Earth orbit. And along with, so I don't think there's much more here, but this is the area that we're using to stimulate growth of the space transportation industry available to all potential customers. And reducing our dependence on Russian spaceflight capabilities for crew transportation. Chart 18. Space and flight support, these are the foundational capabilities for human spaceflight, space communications, the TDRS Deep Space Tracking Network, and the ground network, the SGSS Sustainment Project, to modernize the network. The new thing on this page is we're initiating a communication services program to begin purchasing commercially provided satellite-based data, relaying services to more efficiently meet future needs. This is modeled on the Launch Services Program. And we're feeding it about $3 million to see if there's a way we can do that more efficiently. And then we also support our crew health here, astronaut services, the launch services program, and also our rocket testing capabilities. 19. This is the what I was referring to earlier when I was talking about space station, $150 million in 20. We had $40 million enacted in 19 for this activity. So it's continuing along the path of last year's budget. And the circle there talks about shows potential areas under consideration that we could use commercial partnerships with to help support the space station operations in the future. So that's the same as last year. On 20, Earth Science, we've got quite a bit of activity here, beginning new venture, Earth Venture Continuity Element, $33 million. We do propose to terminate the PACE and Clario Pathfinder, but we do restore funding for the OCO-3 and Discover missions. A lot of formulation development missions like Landsat-9, NISAR, SWAT, TEMPO, Sentinel-6, a very busy Earth science activity supporting over 30 missions in all stages of development and operation. And we have, you'll see in all the themes that we have CubeSats, SmallSats that are supported in every theme just because we are making substantial investment in CubeSats and SmallSats and because we can just get so much more science for lower costs nowadays, technologies. 21, we've got planetary science. We've got $210 million continuing the Lunar Discovery and Exploration Program. This is where CLPS and Lunar Robotic Orbiter, LRO, is budgeted as part of exploration. Continuing development of Mars 2020 and Europa Clipper. Initiating Mars sample return, mentioned earlier. And then we continue the Planetary Defense Program, $72 million for DART, the Double Asteroid Redirection Test, and Near-Earth Object Observations at about $77 million. We've got Lucy and Psyche in development, and again, about supporting 13 planetary missions. Astrophysics, we just several missions in formulation and development listed here. PRX is a new MIDEX mission just selected, operating 10 missions here in the balloon program, supporting the TESS mission that was launched last year, and the Hubble Space Telescope, now in its 28th year, being supported at $83 million a year. We also have SOFIA budgeted here at $73 million. And consistent with last year's request, we are also proposing termination of the WFIRST mission. And due to its significant cost at this time, until we complete James Webb, we just don't have the the budget to do that and the exploration priorities. James Webb, we've created this into its own theme again. It was under astrophysics last year. This budget supports the new launch date of March 2021, applying the Independent Review Board and Senate Review Board recommendations, and working with our French partner, providing the Ariane 5, and that's the launch vehicle for launch in Kourou, French Guiana, in 2021. Heliophysics formulates the interstellar mapping and acceleration probe, IMAP. It develops a solar orbital collaboration with ESA, and that's ready for launch in 2020. And then ICON is ready for launch later this year. And then we have 16 additional missions, including Parker Solar Probe, which was launched last year. 25, aeronautics. This is where we did transfer AETC. $65 million went to SSMS, so it's roughly comparable to the 19 levels that were enacted. And this completes the final assembly of the X-59 aircraft I mentioned earlier, and advances technology for the next generation of subsonic transport, including electric aircraft propulsion aircraft. A lot of research in urban air mobility to support industry readiness to perform advanced safety and operations. Testing for emerging global urban and interurban air mobility markets. That's some pretty interesting stuff that they're doing there. We're also, I think integrating the larger unmanned aircraft systems into the national airspace is also part of the research. STEM engagement, really this story hasn't changed from last year, literally the same. The same chart, the same proposal as the last couple of years, and the STEM engagement dollars have been zeroed out. However, we do continue internships, fellowships, and student STEM engagement activities funded by NASA mission directorates, and SMD's science activation program will continue. I think that's at about the $45 or $50 million level. And then finally, we have our Safety Security Mission Services line. This is about $300 million above the enacted 19 levels, and it also includes about $117 million being transferred in for the AETC from various directorates, consolidating the wind tunnels in one place to be managed. And we do increase facilities maintenance to reduce the deferred maintenance backlog here. Remember, a lot of this, infrastructure was built back in the Apollo program, and we're getting NASA ready for the next generation of exploration. And we strengthen cybersecurity capabilities and information technology activities in this budget as well. And last but not least, the construction of facilities and environmental compliance restoration. We have two buildings that are focused here, Flight Electronics Lab at JPL and the Flight Dynamics and Research Facility at Langley. And this budget actually gets us to our facility replacement rate every 240 years instead of every 300 years. So it is some improvement, but it does let you know that we've got old infrastructure in this agency, and we want to revitalize what we can and replace and make modern where we can. And for every,
for every square foot we build, we try to knock down 2 square feet of
the replacement
old, inefficient space.
Yeah, Brian got that. Right, thank you. And then the get off the stage chart is just a summary of what this budget will do. Looking back by in 2028, we'll have provided opportunities for at least 13 deep space CubeSat missions, including 7 to the moon on EM-1. 2 exploration mission test flights with SLS and Orion, completed 5 EM flights on SLS and Orion, and flown up to 10 CLIPS opportunities, delivered a rover to investigate volatiles on the lunar surface, and demonstrated for the first time a reusable lunar ascent vehicle, and used for the first time on the moon key exploration technologies, including precision landing, cryogenic fluid management, in situ resource utilization, and surface nuclear power, and return humans to the lunar surface. So that's those are the charts in pretty fast order, but we can open it up for questions.
Right. I just wanted to, while we were going through this, just wanted to, we will take questions in a moment. The operator will walk people through it. I just want to say that while this teleconference has been going on unabated and there hasn't been any issues with this, with the media teleconference, the phone line you're using, NASA.gov/live, where we stream, we do an audio stream of this, was down for the first 15 minutes of the teleconference. So what we're planning on doing is, for those who may have missed out there and have joined now or waiting around for it to come up on stream, we'll be posting a full uninterrupted recording of this shortly after the teleconference is done. So if you're on the teleconference, obviously you heard it. It was uninterrupted. Those who are listening at NASA.gov/live, we were not up for the first 15 minutes, and we'll post a full recording of that shortly after. Apologize for the server issue that we had. So again, we have a lot of reporters online. We do want to get to everybody's questions. We'll take them. Hopefully, be courteous to your fellow journalists, so we can go one question at a time, so we can get to as many as possible and go back around if we have time. I'll now turn this over to the operator to walk you through how you get to indicate that you do have a question.
Thank you. On the phone line to ask a question, please press star followed by one, and please record your name clearly when prompted. Again, that is star followed by one if you would like to ask a question.
Okay, we will take our first question from Tarek Malik from space.com.
For planetary science, and forgive me if I missed it, but I was just curious exactly how much is allocated for the Mars sample return mission itself, and is it dovetailed closely with Mars 2020 or still building on the initial capsule sample return technology that had been pre-planned for the mission? Thanks.
Yeah, we have $109 million allocated in 20 for future Mars activities, the majority of which would be applied to the Mars sample return mission to begin early formulation there. And yes, that would be dovetailed with the Mars 2020, which would deposit a cache samples so that the Mars sample return would retrieve.
Okay. Our next question will go to Eric Berger, Ars Technica.
Hi. I'm just curious about how long you plan to defer development of the exploration upper stage. If you're going to not need it for co-manifesting the gateway modules, it seems to me like you wouldn't need it for quite some time. So maybe you could talk a little bit about when you think NASA will actually need the Block 1B capability for SLS. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to let Brian do that. We, you're right. We won't need co-manifesting for the gateway. We won't need EOS for a while. While we will continue working on EOS in 19, as it is in law that we do so, along with the mobile launch platform, we will. This budget does not assume we won't need that until probably EM4 period time frame.
Later, the focus is to get a consistent cadence of Block 1 missions up and running and delivering crew into the lunar vicinity. We will eventually need EUS, but we don't have a precise date for exactly when or which mission that will be at this point.
Yeah, using the getting the ESPRI, the utilization module, the SLS block one in operational mode, and we can get to the lunar surface fastest in this way and with the least amount of dollars needed. So, okay.
Okay, our next question will go to Joel Achenbach, Washington Post.
Yes, thank you so much. I think you just answered the question. So the SLS would still be used in Orion for the lunar program. Correct. It's still part of that architecture.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you have how much 300 and how much million for lunar landers in this budget?
$383 in 20, but it quickly grows up to $2.3 billion in 24.
So where does that money come from, the $2.3 billion in 24? I mean, typically it's got to come from somewhere. It doesn't just materialize out of thin air.
So part of that is the growth in the out years, and part of that is other development activities rolling off. Gateway will largely be done in its development phase by that point, and so we'll be taking those dollars and ramping up ACSC with them as well.
And there are some out-year assumptions regarding ISS in 23 and 24 that we're going to have to go off and work in consecutive budget cycles.
Okay, our next question will come from Marcia Smith, Case Policy Online.
Thanks so much. Going back to the Mars sample, what is the out-year prospect for that? How much does the total program cost, and where is that money coming from within science?
We're frantically looking at the numbers here, Marcia. Oh, bear with us. Yeah, we've got a wedge that grows 200, 300, 400, up to $400 million a year in 23 and 24. So
I would say we're just beginning to formulate. We intend to launch by the end of the 2020s, but we don't have a precise commitment or anything yet. We just have the healthy wedge that Andrew just described that will get us on the way there.
Okay, next question is Lauren Grush with The Verge.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I'm just curious what all the available commercial options for launching Europa Clipper would be without SLS and how each one of those would change the length of the mission.
Yeah, the plan is EELV, Delta IV would be probably the prime candidate there.
And it would, the transit time would be a lot longer. It's 4 or 5 years as opposed to 1 to 2. We have to double check that exact those exact times, but that's the trade is
less cost but longer transit time.
Yeah.
Okay. Next is Mark Carroll with Avweek.
Thank you very much. In the last couple of years, there were appropriations for a second mobile launch platform for the SLS. What happens to that money and the project?
In 19, we are continuing to build it. It's in law that we do so. So nothing's changing there.
Okay, next question, Keith Cowling, NASA Watch.
Yeah, a question, same one I've been asking for a couple, 3 years here about the education budget. It says in your charts that there will be no funding for the STEM Engagement Office, and yet other parts of NASA are doing education. Does this mean that the $100 or so million that is currently spent by STEM education, that goes away and everything that it funded goes away, or does it mean that the directorate's going to cough up $100 million to take over all of those activities?
No, it means that that $100 million goes away, and we do not plan for it.
Okay. Our next question is Ken Chang, New York Times.
Hi, thank you. I was wondering if you had more details about the transition from ISS. Is that still scheduled for 2024? Are there any more details about how that will be done? And is RFP for the commercial use of the port going out anytime soon?
The intent is that we're obviously not going to shut down the space station, but the intent is that the federal government is not continue operating it, and that we are building this commercial program to look at opportunities for commercial industry and partners to overtake the operations, similar to last year. So we still have that commercial line in the budget to help us do so, and to investigate the opportunities out there. Your last part of the question, I don't think I know the answer to, but we can ask the HEO mission directorate for the response.
Yeah, and we'll have to get back to you after this. Hey, just as a reminder, if you have we had a number of people on the line. If you have a question,
put in for it. Otherwise, we're getting near the end, and we don't have a lot of follow-up questions that people have dialed in. So, last chance to bite at the apple. We have one more person right now, Kimberly Cartier with ESO Magazine.
U.S.,
sorry.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Some of the lasting success and impact from the Apollo missions comes from the unilateral public support and engagement. How do you expect to achieve the same for your Moon to Mars initiative without funding for STEM engagement?
Right now we will do it through our mission director activities, our outreach activities, through the programs and projects. That's about all I can say. We do have a specific education component to the Science Mission Directorate, which reaches a lot of folks. So that's all I can sort of probably say on that. We get a lot of information out there as an agency in terms of social media, but I do appreciate your question. That's all I know about it.
Okay. This is the second round, bite at the apple. We'll go with Eric Berger.
Yeah, hi. In regard to the $150 million for the commercial LEO development, can you talk about how this money would be spent and how you hope to convince Congress to fund it this year? Because I don't believe they funded a similar request in the FY 2019.
They did fund it at $40 million. They probably had some skepticism as well. But I mentioned that we had several studies out with companies right now, about 12 studies that we're awaiting responses from for their proposals. And beyond that, I don't know what those studies will say and what concepts they'll be putting forward. So these studies will include, you know, specifically their concepts, detailing business plans, and the viability of habitable platforms using station or separate free flyers structures. So I'm not sure when those are meant to come in yet, but that's all I know.
Okay, well, up next, Grant Segal from Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Hi. I'm here by NASA Glenn. I'm interested in what you said about consolidating wind tunnels. Is there any chance that NASA Glenn will either gain or lose wind tunnels or more of the testing work?
No, sorry. So those wind tunnels in the past couple of years have been funded out of multiple sources throughout our budget structure. And so we have, to make it easier to manage, we've consolidated the funding for the wind tunnels into the SSMS account. It does not change at all the operations or we're not consolidating the tunnels themselves. It's just we're putting all the money to run them into one place rather than having it spread throughout the agency.
Okay. Ken Chang, New York Times.
Hi. Thanks for a second question. For Earth Science, how much money would be saved by canceling PACE and the Pathfinder? And how much money are OCO3 and Discover costing?
So the PACE and Clario combined are about $383 million in fiscal 19. The other two you mentioned combined are about $10 million. I think it's 1.7 for Discover.
And 7.4 for OCO.
7.4 for OCO.
Okay, Lauren Rush, The Verge.
Hi, thanks for taking my question again. I'm also curious about, are there any plans to replace our current infrastructure at Mars in advance of the Mars sample return mission, such as new communication satellites that are aging in orbit around Mars right now?
Not at this time. Not in this budget.
Okay, James Dean, Florida Today.
Hi, thanks. I think you said that you were continuing to fund the second ML this year, but didn't confirm if your proposed budget would continue that project next year. But there's no need for it, is there, if you are not using a Block 1B?
Yeah, that is a recognized disconnect between congressional intent and our plan forward. We'll have conversations with Congress about that.
Here, we have our last couple of questions. Back to Keith Cowing. NASA Watch.
Okay, clarification on my earlier question. Does this mean that by cutting the Office of STEM Engagement's budget to zero, that everything that the Office of STEM Engagement currently does will no longer be done? Yes or no?
Yes. It will not be done.
Okay. Next, Tark Malik, space.com.
Yes, thank you. I had a question about the W4 Space Telescope itself, just because I know that there was the attempt to cancel it in 2019, and then the funding, the $321 million, was added back in there to kind of aim for that 2020's launch site. And, in the language that was released today, it says both to terminate the telescope itself, as well as to kind of delay any funding in it pending a JWST completion. So, I mean, is the goal with this request to unequivocally cancel the telescope for all time, or is there a window that is open there that would allow renewed funding in the 2021 pending a JWST launch at that time? Thank you.
Yeah, I think that would be something we would revisit in subsequent budget cycles. It's just assumed canceled in this one, but by no means will the science not be revisited if it's found to be a priority.
Okay, U.S. Magazine.
Hi, thank you again for taking my question. Is there money included in this budget for CubeSats to be involved in the efforts to the moon?
Actually, we do have several CubeSats that will be on EM-1. On the launch of EM-1, will be going to the lunar surface. I think there are about seven of them. That's just the only example I know right now off the top of my head.
Okay, and our last call will take from Marshall Smith.
Thanks so much. So you've displayed your budget in the format that you tried last year that Congress did not adopt, and it doesn't have a separate line for technology as Congress requested. Are you still hoping to convince them to allow you to restructure the budget? And also, are you still trying to eliminate the Space Technology Mission Directorate?
Hi, Marcia. So the structure that you're talking about, it is largely renaming. What was the exploration account is now the Deep Space Exploration Systems account, like we proposed last year, but the content is the same, which either way, that is the same thing for what was the Space Technology account, which we're proposing to rename the Exploration Technology account. As for the renaming, that's not really a budget question. That's being worked this year through our reorganization process. We have to notify Congress, and that sort of process is working its way through the government now.
Okay. There are no other questions in the queue, and so we will end this teleconference. As a reminder, all the budget material we've been talking about that's available is on nasa.gov/budget, and we will also have a full recording of this. We'll post at nasa.gov/budget as soon as possible. Also, please feel free to stay on the line. The operator will walk us through how the replay is. You can hear it right now, instantaneously, pretty much, after this call. So thank you for joining us, and have a good afternoon.
Thank you. To listen to a replay of today's conference, you may dial 1-800-879-6416. No passcode is required. Again, that phone number is 1-800-879-6416. The replay will be available through April 11th, 2019. And that concludes today's conference. Thank you all for participating. You may disconnect at this time.